Dissentelcast.
Did you get jungle fever?
No, that's a different disease.
No, you didn't? No,
spring fever episode.
Spring fever. It was some kind of... Oh, yes, a jungle fever. Hello, and welcome to Kiss and Tell. This is episode 15. We're plowing through our awkward teenage years. And as you know, most of you probably know, when you hit 15, you start thinking about one thing, and that's girls.
Podcasts.
Girls and podcasts. And we thought, what better way to handle girls and podcasts by having a girl on ours? And here today, we have not only Mario Domo, who's kind
I'm
of a girl.
Not a guy. Wait a minute.
We also have Alyssa Ball. Hi, Alyssa. How are you?
Hi, Scott.
We're so jazzed to have... We need a feminine touch. We need a ladies'
I think we
touch.
Do.
Mario's got hella feminine energy.
That's actually true. I think...
Oh.
Alyssa's, he glows like the moon.
Alyssa's actually more masculine than Mario, I think.
I don't think so.
But I can bring you my feminist perspective.
No, I appreciate that. And so, Alyssa, you are riot girl, poet, author, mm-hmm. copywriter,
spoken word
artist, all of these things, mm-hmm. all of these things. And you are here to help us plow through some secrets. So, mm-hmm. you know, the rules, these people bring their deepest, darkest secrets to us. And we make fun of them.
We talk about it.
We just talk about it. We try to help when we can help. And we, tell our own stories. We share, we all grow a little and
we don't know that's
really true. But first, before any of that happens, there's an important chore we have to take care of. We're contractually obligated to open up the Corey Schmitz Memorial Feedback mm-hmm. and read some feedback. And this week we had record breaking in
did
input.
We, okay, we broke last week's record.
Well, last week's record.
Or no, did we?
No, 2 weeks ago was our record.
Are we actually keeping track?
Yeah, I'm keeping careful tabs on this, Murray.
Whatever.
I'm charting it. We got an Excel.
Can we start a. Like a running tally of the times that I'm wrong about people.
Oh,
about
their gender specifically?
Yeah.
I don't think Excel counts that high. You can only have 65,535 rows, and that's not going to get there. First, in this massive influx of feedback, we heard it from a lot of old friends, a lot of old favorites, new friends. First, we have a letter from our friend Butt Guy. Butt Guy here, I just thought I'd clear some things up from last week. I was completely aware of what was going on when that happened. I guess I just worded it strangely. However, I was a bit surprised I did it, though that doesn't mean I wasn't aware. Also, when I said anal is gross, I just meant that it doesn't or didn't seem like something I would want to do. I guess if Mrs. Butt Guy really wanted to, I would, but I don't think I'd ever ask. One hole is enough for me. Your friend, Butt Guy. So, we were a little curious about how things went down or in. He did make it sound like it was an accident, like nobody noticed it.
Oh, yeah, he was saying that his hands kind of just found their own way to...
They got a mind of their own.
To her area.
And she seemed to like it. Well, yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Buckeye, it sounds like you guys are doing fine. You're a movie star couple in among the Kiss and Tell constellations, and we're glad you're doing well.
Do we have like a... Bradgelina kind of name
it's
for them.
It's kind of like Buttgelina.
But
that's okay. Different.
That works.
Yeah. So thanks for writing back. Thanks. Moving on. And this isn't necessarily feedback, but we crammed it in here. If you'll recall, last week we had some circumcision discussion. We learned that Mare not only is uncut, but has 8 or 9 inches of foreskin.
We didn't say that, did we?
Okay, wait, sorry.
I didn't listen to last episode.
Okay, well, maybe you should. I consider one of the biggest mistakes I will ever make in my life to be deciding as a 14-year-old to get circumcised. It was in the middle of puberty and middle school, so I was incredibly self-conscious and mixed with all the misinformation out there and misleading advice from my parents. I thought it would be a good idea, but there's never been a more physically painful and terrible time of my life. I hate that I did this. What a shame. I know, it is. Alyssa's covering her mouth in horror. I'm sorry that this happened to you. It must be tough too, because you were, you know, you're privy to it. It doesn't sound. I don't think you can blame yourself though. It sounds like you had some people maybe influencing you. The good news is it's behind you, and you're okay. Everybody It's not an uncommon thing. You're going to be fine. One day you'll forget all about it.
It's not like a bad tattoo or anything.
Yeah, there's definitely worse things that can happen to your body, I think. Uh-huh. Of all the pieces, you know, if I wasn't circumcised and someone came up to me and said, pick any part you want to just cut off, that I would probably pick my foreskin. I think of all the pieces, and maybe that's a good way to put things in perspective.
Yeah, because it's kind of flappy.
It's just, you know, if it's down to like pinky toe or foreskin nose, or you're gonna go. It's probably the least important.
I can't think of anything else.
Earlobes, maybe.
Maybe you would. So
okay, take off my earlobe, but like not too far.
Just a tad.
Slice it.
You could get like a prosthetic earlobe, maybe.
Do you think? Do you think you could get a prosthetic foreskin that would solve all these problems?
I have no idea.
Because part of the reason that the foreskin is valued is because it has a lot of nerve endings and you're more sensitive.
It's true.
To sexual stimulation.
Yeah, that is true.
Everything.
And it also, you know, protects some things that can help with desensitization over time. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Maybe you can make a makeshift one. Maybe you can...
Out of cardboard. Out of a toilet paper tube.
You want something kind of soft, or I don't experiment with that. I'm sorry for your loss, but look on the bright side. It wasn't your thumb.
Yeah,
thumbs.
Yeah,
thumbs
what
are
if your parents were telling you about your thumb and
actually,
how much it sucks?
You know, maybe this is some advice for everybody out there, because this is the thing that I've an approach I've adopted that I've found helpful. And whenever I have one of those things that I feel like I really want something, or like you know, you get those things and you're like, oh, I'd give anything for that. I'd give anything for whatever it is. I try to think of it in terms like, okay, say that the devil just appeared right now and he said, I will make you a deal. What are you willing to trade for it? And then it doesn't take me very long to realize that I probably wouldn't trade anything super valuable for it. Mm-hmm. And then that helps me kind of get over it. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
The way I get over things like that is that I don't have money to buy them.
I thought you were going to say you just actually make deals with the devil.
No.
You don't. So I think right now, you know, if the devil came to you and said, if you want your foreskin back, what would you be willing to get for it? And maybe you'll be surprised that it's really not that important.
That's a weird devil. Why would he say that?
I don't know. You know how those deities are with their foreskins. They love them.
He kept it this whole time.
Yeah, weirdo. V-card swiper here. I am indeed a lady, and it is a straight relationship, but I still like the vampire concept. So this is another instance in which Maria maybe didn't guess the gender quite right. Not even the gender of this sexual orientation.
Everybody involved.
Everybody involved. We've been having strange, tense makeout sessions, which has led to mutual handjobs and naked sleeping for the last 2 months, yes. Just for background. And this, just for, in case no one remembers, this is a situation where we have a senior in college dating a freshman. She's about to go away. And she doesn't know if before she checks out, she should swipe the old.
Is this a December, July situation? Is that what they call it? What do they call it? What I'm talking about?
Never heard of that.
It's when
I think
there's
so.
Like a,
and it's like the basis of a death cab for cutie zone.
Is it? Well, now I don't want to say it.
Oh, no.
Isn't it just like.
It might be. I don't. I feel like it's a pretty popular phrase.
One of those things?
Like, you know, or maybe December, January, something. I don't know.
It's a fond farewell is what I think of it as. Moving on. As an update, this past weekend, we had a very intimate evening. Things got hot and heavy, and I was pretty sure that we were about to swipe that card. Just as I crawl on top of this kid, my tremendously drunk housemate bursts into my room and jumps into my bed with us.
Oh.
Needless to say, the mood was ruined. We were tired and got back to that point. I take this as a sign from the universe that I'm not going to be the one to take his virginity as much as I want it. So my new question... Do I murder my housemate and throw her body into the Sound or put it through a wood chipper?
Sounds like we've got a local here.
It
the
is
Sound?
A wood, yeah, I know. We were actually just wondering about that.
Wood chipper? There's wood here.
So here's, okay. Mari and I talked about this a bit last week. Do you have any thoughts on this, Alyssa? What do you think about this? She's worried about swiping this kiddo's card. She's worried about emotional attachment. She's worried about turning into some kind of sexual vampire where he's bonded to her for life.
Wait a minute, because it's going to be his first time?
His first time.
And she's a senior.
She's experienced.
I think he's a freshman.
He's inexperienced.
Oh, no, they should be just like open and honest about it. And
just do it?
I don't think there's any sort of unbalanced power dynamic with them. It sounds like they're...
She's just... It's in her head. She's worried about it. She doesn't want to do it. And now she thinks that this situation was a sign from the universe that she shouldn't. Because she was about to, and then the naked roommate bursts in.
It does seem like she doesn't want to do it.
That's the thing. Yeah. And it's like, if it was meant to happen by now, it would kind of happen. But the roommate thing,
Well, here's what I think about the roommate thing. I think when you're on the fence about something, you can be undecided and you can kind of wait for some kind of outside influence.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the fact that this roommate thing happens and now you're blaming it, it sounds like maybe just deep down, that's what you subconsciously, you wanted a reason not to, and now you have a reason not to.
Yeah, that your roommate is not a god.
You could have said, like, your roommate leaves and then you just do it.
Yeah, you could have just done
totally.
It. Totally. Fine. No, if that's the right decision for you.
There's no right decision. I mean, there's no, like, right or wrong. There's just
sex. There's just
sex taking or no sex. Kids' virginity.
Next, in the Aquarius from Royal Feedback. A note to the heart in a million pieces for over a year from episode 10. Not to disagree with Scott and Mari's advice, and just as a quick interjection, you're very welcome to do that. We are not experts by any means.
Yeah, you can do that.
Please do. Moving on. But if you asked if it's possible to skew your brain and what you're talking about sounds like depression, I don't want to be a downer, but it is possible that the serotonin and dopamine receptors in your brain have been sort of messed up after being so sad for a while. If you're finding it hard to be happy in other areas of your life too, maybe consider talking to someone about it. And that was kind of our advice too. You know, if this is something that lingers for a long time, I think we tell that to people in general. If you need some help, you should seek it. You can talk to counselors.
What was this about?
Remember the fella or the lady or gentleman whose heart was broken for a year. And I think this was what prompted my hiccups talk.
Okay.
And while it is something that takes time to work out, it's totally possible that you've got some problems with the chemicals upstairs. I've been, I'm pretty sure I'm just a big raging toxic mess up there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to take 5-HTP to mess with some serotonin and dopamine.
What is that?
I think is it's giving me powers.
Is that a new coding language?
I think it's giving me superpowers.
FTP? What?
No, I don't want to come out. It's a big topic of, I don't think we're going to solve it today, whether or not you should try to live better through pharmaceuticals, but
right.
Maybe you should talk to somebody about it if that is something to worry about. Here's the feedback we've all been waiting for. Weeks ago, we got an email from an aspiring trombonist. And this person said that the trombone had saved them from depression. It's what they're passionate about. It's what they want to pursue in their life. Their parents are telling them that, it's a dead end. It's just a hobby. Put that foolish trombone away. Put that devil horn away. Pick up something sensible. And I was so taken by that email. I was so excited about it that someone had found something that they were so passionate about, to the point that I've come to the point where I refer to kind of finding your life's purpose as finding your trombone.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how Mari's trombonist comics, and we finally got an email back from the trombonist. Hi, it's the trombonist. You have no idea how touched I was and surprised by your reactions. Thank you so much. And if that t-shirt were to be made, I would definitely buy it. I'm in the process of telling everyone I know about the podcast. And she attached a link to a YouTube video of her playing the Toreador theme from Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lovely. It was so good. I was so excited about it. This person was born to play the trombone.
Scott, what did the t-shirt say?
We talked about making, what was it? Follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams. And then there's a picture of a trombone.
I think that was,
that's it.
That was it. We talked about doing some trombone hero shirts. There was some trombone fan art that people did. It was very nice.
Whoa.
And people out there, hasn't been enough trombone fan art. So if you're out there and you're on the fence about what you need to draw today, it's trombones. That's what's in this season.
I'd like to see a rainbow coming out of the trombone.
Yeah, rainbow. Yeah,
to follow your dreams.
It sounds nice.
And we should ask her if we can post that video.
Yeah, we actually, that would be lovely if you could follow up with us. We would like to post it in the show notes, but we didn't want to do it without your permission.
Mm-hmm.
Also, do you take requests? Because I would like to hear "The Lonely Bull" by Herb Albert. It's one of my favorites.
Okay,
if you could play that. And in Brazil, if you could play Brazil, I would be very excited. Moving on.
Wait, does Alyssa have a trombone? I want to hear about
her
trombone.
What's your trombone?
My Alyssa? Trombone? Oh, it's writing.
Writing is your trombone.
Poetry.
It's your that's your thing.
Yeah.
You just know when you're doing it, it's just right.
I think I figured it out at about 8.
I wish I knew what my trombone was. I've tried so many different instruments, flugelhorns.
What if it's trombone?
What if my trombone was literally the trombone?
You didn't know because it was right there in front of you, but you just didn't know.
So I've tried cello, piano, guitar.
Have you tried cello?
Yeah, I've tried a number of instruments.
When?
That's what I played in school. And lame. School, I have never played a trombone. Probably this aimless wandering I've done for my 30 years on Earth has just been because I haven't picked up a trombone.
That could be it.
You pretty should. Sure I have picked up a trombone though and played it very poorly.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think I've tried.
Okay.
I should try again. Moving on. Hey, it's the scared artist. I am a female and the ex-fiance is a guy. So once again, Mario was wrong. I'm afraid of any contact, but as a result of the mind games that have been occurring, it's mostly been slander and harassment from the high schooler and her friends. There was one of these altercations at the last show opening at a gallery I was involved in. I just want to put it all behind me. That really doesn't need to be mixed up in the life I'm trying to make for myself. So just to bring you up to speed, she was having problems with her ex, problems with this high schooler he left her for. She was worried about putting her art out in public because she didn't want to deal with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty happy with our answer. We said you can't let it keep you from getting your work out there.
Yeah.
You got to just find the right venue. I totally understand that don't deal with people. I mean, whatever can be said about, you know, being the bigger person and trying to get along. I truly believe there are people and times in life when you just can't have any contact. Then that's the most wise adult thing you can do. But yeah, I still don't think you got to not let it stop you from getting your work out there.
Yeah, I guess it's worse that you're letting it get to you. They're you're egging them on and feeding the troll.
The terrorists are winning. Is that what you're saying, Marie?
Yeah.
You're letting the terrorists win.
Yeah.
This high school girl is an art terrorist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Does that make sense, you guys?
No, I think that makes perfect sense. One more feedback and we'll roll along. We got a lot of feedback, man. But this one is very important. Roommate Donker here. We're still living in the same room, still donking and gradually acting more like a couple. That we talked about it and put a non-monogamous label to the whole thing. So this, yeah, I know. So she writes in and says that she's been sleeping with a roommate. And it turns out that it's her boyfriend. They share a bed. They sleep together. They live together.
Two people who are so feared of commitment.
Yeah, okay.
So it doesn't sound like she is, but...
She was. Because remember, she liked somebody else.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So let's get through this and we'll talk about it. There's so much to talk about. I keep thinking about how comfortable it is with him, and I keep thinking about reopening the channel of communication to talk about the possibility of calling it a relationship. But then I worry that I'm only thinking that because he's safe. I mean, I'm not in love with him, so I wouldn't get my heart broken. The relationship wouldn't end with that crushing, I can love no other feeling. We have the same hobbies and sexual compatibility and can live together comfortably. But are those bad reasons to start a relationship? Does love really need to be there at all?
Those are not bad reasons to start a relationship.
That actually sounds like a lovely relationship.
This is the best reason.
So this is one of those things. This is one of those people that is so caught up in the, it sounds stupid to say it, but like the Hollywood version of love.
Yeah.
Like the first 2 weeks, stars in your eyes, butterflies in the stomach, fall in love kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with a long-term meaningful relationship. Or if it does, only in that it's the starting gun.
Yeah.
And I think you need to say, does love really need to be there at all? It sounds like it is. And maybe you just need to reassess how you look at love. And we've talked about this before, but love, it's not simple. It's not so simple. And you're discrediting the whole thing by looking at it like that, I think. And I will once again drop the book Conditions of Love, because I think it does a great job of painting love not as a thing, but as a vast, complicated system that can be appreciated in different ways. And one of the things from that book that and from another number of other sources is looking not only at, for example, looking at arranged marriages and seeing how those can grow into love over time, but also looking at elderly couples. And I've seen a number of times when older people in a relationship will say, I could have done this with anyone. Because it's so much work. It almost, you could have just met a stranger on the street and started from scratch and not started from, you know, physical attraction or affection, because to make a 50-year relationship work, that's not what it is. It's a beautiful, powerful thing, but it's not the sweaty holding hands thing necessarily.
Right,
that doesn't
really
last 50 years.
I've heard old people say build a solid friendship, because that's what you're going to fall back on once the cocktail of drugs of being in love,
for sure,
the neuro punch of like Disney love wears off,
mm-hmm,
you're left with.
Yeah, and actually that's, yeah, there's friendship. I think there's a, It's funny because I think there are specifically, I don't remember the details, but there's three sets of brain chemicals. That one is like the crazy attraction. One's like a little bit more sustained, but there's something else that kind of does that loyal, long-term kind of mm-hmm. thing. Anyways, it sounds like you guys got you've got a good thing going. And you maybe instead of putting yourself in that kind of grass is always greener on, you know, frame of mind, try to be grateful that you've got something that sounds pretty nice.
Word.
Sounds like it's good.
Yay.
Yeah. Are we ready for this? Are we ready for secrets? Alyssa, you feel like you're ready for these? You're ready for these things? Okay. Let's do this.
I am turned on by tickling and being tickled, but I'm terrified of telling my girlfriend. She is incredibly ticklish. This is tickling me a little bit.
Are you tickled?
She's incredibly ticklish, even though I like saying tickle. It's
tickle.
Fun.
A tickle.
She's incredibly ticklish, and even though we have regular tickle fights, I'm completely terrified that if she knew, she'd feel differently about me.
We were all a little curious about this. We thought it was a little strange to be hung up on it, but I just had a different thought.
Okay. Uh-oh.
So when he says, I'm afraid that if she knew, that almost sounds like he's getting off during the tickle fights.
Yeah.
And maybe they've been having tickle fights for years. Like maybe even before they were dating, and it's just always good fun. And he's taken it to a level that she's not familiar. I could see how that could maybe be a little weird. Like, by the way, those 3,000 tickle fights we've had, I had an orgasm
every
close. Time.
Yeah,
it's every close. Single time. That's why I had to excuse myself to the bathroom. After
it'd be like if you didn't know someone had a foot fetish, and then they just happened to be touching your feet, and then they admitted to you one day, like, "Oh yeah, by the way, I love feet. Like,
or
I
just
love feet."
Almost if you almost anything. That's a good example. But if there's someone doing anything, and then you notice they have an erection, like just what, like mowing the lawn, doing just something that seems like it's normal. Like it'd be weird if. It turned out the guy next to me was aroused clicking his mouse. And just all day, I just think he's over there just doing work.
But a tickle fight, that's almost sex already.
No, it is. And actually, I feel like I remember some very sexually tense tickle fights from when I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
When I wasn't quite to the point of going somewhere with a girl. But I do remember a specific instance where during a tickle fight, my shirt came off and it was a big deal.
How? How does it even happen?
I don't know. Like, it got pulled up. I don't know.
What were you tickling with?
It was a big
knives?
Deal. She had claws. She had talons.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's what I think might also be going on with Deuter,
uh-huh.
who's got the tickle fetish.
Yeah.
Is that there's a sense of losing control when you're being tickled and being kind of in the, like, passive role.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think if it was a male person who was heterosexual, that might be, because of culture, sort of... frowned upon to be the one mm-hmm. who's submissive or passive.
Oh,
losing, no, that like letting go of control.
That could be true because when I mentally put a tickle fetish put it in a context, the image I get is like a dominance game where the guy's tied up and having his feet tickled or something like that. That's like when I think of, you know, a tickle fetish, that doesn't mean you have to be there. I'm sure there's a full range of tickle fetishists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not telling your girlfriend, I don't know. I think we've come out pretty strongly in favor of being completely open with your partner about what you're into.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly if it's this tame. And if you've listened to the show, I feel like there's been much weirder things that people have done with their partners. So yeah. I don't think, I mean, we've, you know, just to go back to some classics, we've had butter sprinkle hand jobs. We've had sex with Pokemon masks. We've had some... We've had some what I feel like very understanding partners.
This is G rated.
Yeah, this is just tickling. It doesn't get more G rated than that.
I feel like, well, maybe I'm going to jinx it, but only good can come from this.
You know, the only problem I can see is that if they have this thing that's tickling, that's just like a fun thing they do, and then her knowing this instantly makes it sexual. Like, you know, now it's like it's instantly foreplay. So she's going to be like, oh, I don't feel like tickling right now or something like that, you know?
I don't know.
I don't,
yeah, because it adds that dimension to it.
It's just now it's a sexual, dimension. An overtly sexual thing. I guess I don't think you're obligated to tell her, and I don't think it's a big deal if you don't. I think if you feel like, if you have some inkling that there's somewhere you'd like to go more intense with your tickling, maybe you should talk to her about it.
Well, I think you should tell her.
You should tell her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Also, okay. I want to say I'm super ticklish.
Are you?
Not in a sexual way. I'm just very ticklish.
I don't know. I feel like I've had... I don't know that I've known anyone. Maybe they just never told me. I don't know that I've known anyone or been, you know, interacted with someone that was overtly aroused by tickling.
Uh-huh.
But maybe they all were. Maybe
Probably.
Every person.
Yep. Tickled.
Do you think that's something that's more common than
a tickle fetish?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I can definitely see like the submissive thing. I can definitely see the losing control. I don't know.
But tell your partner.
Yeah, tell your partner. Come on, it's fine. Yeah. Share that.
Okay.
What's next?
I'm in a long-distance relationship, and I want it to end, but I'm not sure how. And I still want to remain friends, but I'm just lying by telling them I'm still happier than ever, keeping us going. I still want to remain friends.
Okay. So I would like to hear Alyssa's take, just because gut reaction, just first impression on something like this.
Oh, you need to break up.
That's it.
That sounds good.
You got to break up.
Can I tell you why you need to break up?
Scott, why?
Because when I was 17, the girl that I dated that I've talked about before, mm-hmm. after 8 months moved away.
Okay.
To this day.
Yeah.
She's never broken up with me. It's never, I don't think, it's never been formalized.
You gotta read between the lines.
You think 14 years later I should, no, I mean, yes, 14 years later I should probably take, she emailed me today.
What if you're just weirdly your boyfriend?
What?
Just not keeping in contact all these years.
Is that no? Okay, for the first couple of years, there was she did not break up with me, and I thought we were doing okay. We were doing visits and stuff, and later I did find out she was seeing other people. She was sleeping with other people. So it would have been much better for me, probably much less, you know, psychologically scarring and traumatizing had she told me.
How old are you? 14?
No,
17. Sorry,
I started. Oh, I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But you still have trust in people.
Yeah. And then it lasted for years and years and years.
Okay. So you were 17 and then it was 14 years ago. Is that right?
14 years ago.
Okay. Gosh.
We're all old. What?
No, Mari's a little guy. Mari's a little
I'm teen. Still 14.
So. Mari's still 14. No, listen, if there's an ideal breakup situation, I think you've got it. I mean, I think the long distance thing, no breakup is easy, but this takes care of some things for you. One, you've got a reason just in the bag. You don't have to say he's ugly or you don't like his weirdo tickle fetish. You can just say that this long distance thing isn't working. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, and maybe even more importantly, is that it solves that problem of kind of the, you know, the healing process that you have built in distance from each other. Like, you know,
it's a clean break.
It's a pretty clean break. You're far away.
It's like a lightsaber. Just cauterizes the wound.
Cauterizes the wound. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I understand it's hard to dump somebody. It's hard to hurt somebody. But it's going to be better to just do it and get it over with than drag it out. And I do feel like you're in a pretty ideal position to do that. As far as wanting to remain friends, in my mind, it's not really up to you. To me, the person that is dumping forfeits their privilege to decide if you're going to be friends or not. I feel like it's up to the dumpy to take the time they need to you know?
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I don't think you get to decide. You can still want to be friends and you can still be open to that, but he's the one who gets to decide how that goes. And that's, I feel like that's the fair way to do it. Mari,
I thought it was interesting that you said he, because we always...
Oh, whoa, guess. We didn't even actually get a
gender or anything. But it does seem female.
I just assumed it was a girl because that I immediately was like, oh, I know this. And I wish that girl had broken up with me.
Okay. So you're doing this person a favor by breaking up.
You are. You're doing yourself a favor. You're doing this person a favor. Possibly in a few years, maybe even a few months. Who knows? You can be friends again.
You don't want this guy to end up like Scott.
Don't. Good God. Truly, that's not really a joke. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say I'm traumatized by some of the things that happened from that. Do we want to keep on rolling? All three of us like this next one because we're all, you'll see.
Yeah. These days, I fail to identify with or just plain dislike the people around me. What's more, the people I do care about live too far away for me to see on a regular basis. So instead of broing down with anyone, I feel like I just refresh Tumblr and play GURP all day. I'd like to work on art or music or anything constructive, but I just don't care enough to muster up the motivation. Bummer, dude.
So, Alyssa, we've got a number of heartbroken people, sad people, and our advice to them is typically, you know, insofar as we give advice, is that try to take those bad feelings, channel them into something, into writing, into music, into some kind of artwork, because as everyone knows, all beautiful things come from terrible pain. That's just how art works. So this person is saying they're having these difficulties, but they're also having trouble channeling it. Do you have any thoughts on this? Any advice for this person?
Mm. Well, like you were saying with the feedbacks, there are cases of actual depression.
It does exist.
People can confuse with, like, you know, severing a relationship. So if that's happening, you might not have interest in, like, music and arts like you did before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue. But if this person really should be channeling, like, their sadness into creativity and just can't quite do it, they should read that viral artist statement that went around.
Oh, Austin Kleon?
Mm-hmm.
The How to Steal Like an Artist?
Yes.
That is a very good one.
I hate that.
Why do you hate him?
I mean, just skim through.
No, I know. And I know why you like it. Because I have a real problem with these things that every other week there's a, you know, 10 things designers should know, 10 things artists should do, 50 things how to be an artist in 10 steps, all these. I want a list that's 10 ways to be an artist. And the first thing we'll just say, this list is garbage. Don't read lists like this.
I feel like he's very self-aware, though.
No, I know. I shouldn't be so hard on it. I guess I've just seen too many.
Those things. That...
He gave me, like, useful tips. The other one is letters to the artist. Oh, what is it? Letters to a young poet.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Like, you have to read it. The first time you get majorly dumped, go to the beach with yourself and read that whole book cover to cover. You can do it.
Yeah, no, that's that was the reason I wrote my little book. Was that book was a major inspiration. It's good.
It tells you exactly what you need to hear in that moment. And that is, like, it's about something bigger than just two people hooking up and having a love relationship. It's about, like, this love that's deeper than just that.
I should read this book.
It's awesome. Okay, but this guy, he's not even talking about love. This guy's just saying he just doesn't connect with people. Mm-hmm. He's having a hard time. Mario, what do you think about this guy?
It sounds like me. And then there was another person who wrote in, and it sounded like this person too.
This person too. So this is, and maybe this is just where my mind is. This, mm-hmm. I've got a book just right next to me on the floor that I'm reading called Existentialism from Dostoevsky to Sartre.
And that sounds like too much.
It is awesome. And it's all the best guys that are so good at hating life.
How many pages is it?
It's not that many. It just goes through.
How many?
Oh, existentialism is awesome. Everybody who's an existentialist who's labeled as one hates it. They hate all, like, preset frameworks of society and philosophy. And they're all great. They're super awesome dudes. But basically, I mean, life is, it's the problem of existing. It's not difficult. And there are times in your life when you hit those points. There's this... thing that Tolstoy wrote, that he hit this wall in his life where he was hugely successful, he had land, he had money, he had everything, but then he just could not come up with a reason to keep existing. And it's tough, and there's tons of great books about it. If you can't create anything, here's what I think about this. I find myself in modes like this a lot. I have problems identifying with people, I have problems, you know, integrating into society, and I definitely know that there are times when it's not a time, you just don't have the either the inspiration or the motivation or whatever to create something. And I used to get really hung up on that and really was really troubled by it. And now what I've realized is that for me, at least, it kind of ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. And I have times that are all about output and I have times that are all about input. And so maybe don't beat yourself up if you're in one of those input times. If you can't make stuff, if you can't make art or music, just enjoy art and music. Mm. And if you can't write, just enjoy writing. Enjoy reading. And I think those are good, one, because I feel like, you know, art is kind of a balm for the soul in a lot of ways, but also because all this input is kind of building up in you, and maybe it will trigger something that will get you started on some kind of constructive output.
Yes. And do you remember that part in Rilke where he's like, maybe while you were sad, something inside you changed? It's sort of the same thing. Like, you're allowed to go on great depressions. Like, you're allowed to go 3 months where you don't pick up a fucking pen, you know? And all you do is watch nature documentaries and eat pot brownies. But, like, you're turning to other people's art and music for solace. And then that, in turn, is making you a better writer and artist because you're just, like, sponging up what they drop.
So I think you should read Nausea. I think you should read Nausea in addition to Letters to a Young Poet. Nausea is awesome. It's about, it's by, I never feel like I say Sartre's name right. Sartre. Jean-Paul Sartre.
Sartre.
You don't want people reading Sartre when they're depressed.
Yeah, no, you read Nausea because it comes out okay. It's this guy who's having an existential crisis. Life is awful. Life is difficult. And in the end, he finds a way to make good of it. Like, he goes through all of that. He goes through the depression. He goes through all these difficulties. And in the end, it kind of comes around and he figures out a way to channel it. And even if it's, you know, you're not going to become a, you're not going to follow the same route. I think it's kind of a, it worked well for me at least, because then you could follow this guy through his difficulty. And then by the time he gets to the end and he's kind of doing better, you sort of get carried with that. I think it's a great book. And I also, Nausea is just awesome. Mm-hmm. Just the idea of the world making you sick. It's just great.
I think this person should play lots of GURP. That's a good idea.
GURPS for, yeah.
And then sounds like they're doing that. Maybe some Picross 3D. That's okay. A good one. It's okay. A nice puzzle game.
Okay.
You know, just enjoy yourself. Sometimes I get in weird modes and I can't sleep and I want to read a book, but I can't for some reason, even if it's just like a short story. Or I want to read comics, which I like, but I can't pick them up. And so I just play video games and it seems to make me feel better.
Well, that's one of those things where that's what I did this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's, I think there are times when for whatever reason, it's nice to have just pure distraction. Just you're engaged with something, but you're not engaged with your problems. And I don't think that's bad to do now.
It did sound like this person had a physical issue of being distanced from people they were compatible with,
mm-hmm.
or like just didn't find anything in common with people around them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up, I don't know about you, but a pretty shitty small town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling so alone for so long,
mm-hmm.
like all of it, all of junior high and high school, I just felt very solitary because people didn't have my same interests and values.
I felt that way too. And I still do.
Yeah,
I've never grown out of it.
I feel that way right now in this room.
Feels like it,
right? Ah! No.
No, that's true. It can definitely be a geographical thing. But we got the miracle of the internet to try to help you with that. But maybe you just...
That sometimes makes...
Things worse.
You know, distance, whatever. But I like... These days, I like going to cafes and just drawing people, you know. Being around people seems to help me, but I don't want to have to talk to them. You know, no one expects you to, I think.
Yeah, this reminds me... I will close with this.
Okay.
The Frank Sinatra had a line that was, "I'm for anything that gets you through the night."
Okay, yeah.
Whether... Doesn't matter. Whatever it is that gets you through the night, do what you need to do. And that may, you know, maybe that means getting drunk in Las Vegas and sleeping with a bunch of hookers, but I don't know.
For me, it's like ginger beer or kombucha.
That's a little different. I don't know that's what Sinatra had in mind, but I think the spirit of the idea is right. Do you want to keep rolling?
Yeah. I really like this guy, but a lot of my friends keep telling me he's gay. It's fine if he is. But I don't want to keep liking him if he is either. And I'm definitely not going to ask him about it. What should I do?
Do you think it's you, Mari? Because everyone seems to think you're gay.
There was another one. Is that one in here? The one where it says my brother is gay?
Do you think that was your
brother? I thought that was about me at first.
Oh, no.
I thought my brother sent that in. But then it was saying that that person was shy.
Yeah.
I'm not that you're not shy.
You are shy?
I'm not. I'm pretty shy.
Yeah.
But I'm not that shy.
But
I'm not like in the closet shy.
So are you shy or are you gay?
Do I have to pick one?
Yeah. You can only be one. Can you be both?
I'm shay. I'm guy.
I'm just a guy. I don't know what to think about this. I mean, it sounds like it's kind of an easy thing to solve, right?
I like how they're saying, if he is gay, I don't want to keep liking him.
It's just a waste of my time. Yeah.
It's true. I was in the exact situation. But here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
The other person, the dude that I wasn't sure if he was gay or straight, also had the same thing going on with me. He was like, I think she might be gay.
Uh-huh.
And so neither of us made a move for like way too long.
Oh, man. And then
way too long until we finally said like, oh, wait a minute. I thought you were gay. No, I thought you were gay.
That's
so
awesome.
This is one. Okay. There's two ways to go about it. There's a simple way, which is to just ask them.
Ask them out?
Or ask them if they're gay.
I feel like that's kind of rude.
Okay, then you have to trick them into revealing.
How are we going to do that?
So how are we going to trick this guy into revealing? The obvious kind of 80s movie answer would be for her to dress up like a guy and pretend to be a transfer student. Come to the school, like come, you know, whole new life. I think there is an 80s movie called just one of the guys, something like that. You pretend you move away, you move back as a guy, you befriend him, you know, you get close over time and you see if he makes a move at you. It could take months or years.
Okay, but I think in those movies, silly. I think in those movies, what happens is that they're attracted to that girl because of that like feminine charm. Feminine.
Oh, like the so she's going to be giving off girl pheromones.
Something about that. And then he's like, am I gay? What are all these feelings?
And then he sleeps with a dude. And
mess everything up.
Okay. So then how would you trick him? How are we going to trick this guy? We got to help this girl out. We got to trick this guy. It's like Rumpelstiltskin. Like, we got to get him to say.
How do you do it when you want to know if someone's gay? Like, what are your tricks?
When I don't know that there's ever been someone that... I have liked girls that I knew definitely were gay. And that's a different set of problems. Not knowing, I don't know that there's ever been a time that I just didn't know. I mean, like, one of the things, you know, if it's in high school and he's young and he's not out yet, yeah. I can definitely see how that could be a problem. I mean, you could look for some warning signs.
And you can straight up ask someone in high school if they're gay, and if they're not out yet, there's no way they're saying that they're
gay. No, they're not going to say.
Even if they really trust you, gotta look. They're not honest with themselves yet.
Yeah, they may not even have admitted to themselves. So you can look for some, you know, telltale signs. You can look for... You know, on the one hand, if it's high school and there's a bunch of people saying somebody's gay, that's just people do that in high school.
Maybe gay means something else. Maybe it means cool.
Maybe it does. Or maybe it's just a bunch of high school kids being stupid.
Yeah.
If I almost made the weirdest metaphor and it doesn't work. I was going to say something like...
If you were gay?
No, if I was gay for every time someone called me gay in high school...
I'd be gay.
I'd be a...
Exactly.
If I was 1% gay for every time someone called me gay in high school, it'd be 1,000% gay. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this is, we live in a day and an age when you can, you're a lady, you're a modern young woman. You can make a move. Like,
of course,
ask him out, ask him.
But the problem is that she doesn't want to waste, like, maybe it's that situation where he's not out yet and wants to, like, you know, have that cover up, that beard.
Yeah.
So even if she says, if she asks him out, he'll say yes, because.
Well, then she's got to make maybe she's got to make a more aggressive move.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, this is. It's one of those things that gets, I feel like it's a situation that gets to be one of those weird, like, tense, all in your head situation where you feel like it's a problem, but it's probably not really a problem.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you should just let him know that you like him.
Yeah.
And skip the whole gay thing. And here's, okay, how about this? Say that you like him. And if he says no, you can say, psh, he's gay.
Yeah. Okay. That works.
It's a win-win. If he says yes, you get him because you like him. If he says no, it's not your fault. He's gay.
And if he says that he's gay, I think he'll be flattered anyway.
Yeah, sure. So it's fine. So to either, go after him. You can't possibly lose. Does that sound good? Probably quicker and easier than impersonating a boy for 6 months.
Although maybe.
What's next, Mariah?
Last weekend, I spit my boyfriend's cum into my McDonald's Shamrock Shake. I was really sad because I wasn't finished drinking it. The next day, I went to get another Shamrock Shake, but they are all out. And so, then it's a :// face.
Meh. So I don't know a lot about McDonald's.
Do you know about Shamrock Shakes?
I thought they were seasonal.
I'm assuming they are.
Okay, so I would, maybe I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that would happen sometime in March, like maybe around the 17th.
Well, maybe this secret was like a...
This is last weekend. And we got this 5 days ago. So this person either was
you did the
really,
math. Jeez.
This person was really milking that shake, really, really getting their money's worth. This person had been drinking a McDonald's Shamrock Shake for weeks.
No, he just wrote in afterward.
It says
they
last
said,
weekend.
They said last weekend. That is kind of weird.
I don't know. It's a little suspicious.
Maybe McDonald's just keeps it around for a while.
Word, yeah.
You know?
Like they probably do. They're trying to milk it. So what's okay, what situation were you in that's the only place? There was literally no other place to spit it.
Well, you've got only so many cups
in
the
bedroom. You're in a car.
You can spit on the street.
And that
sounds pretty good.
The only thing, because you don't want to open any windows.
You can spit on the street.
You can't open a window.
Because you're naked. And you would have to, like, you know.
Okay.
That sounds like a car.
Now listen. You buy a milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to melt relatively. What's the half-life on a milkshake? How much time do you have? So they bought a milkshake. So did they were they in the McDonald's parking lot doing this?
They went somewhere. They picked up McDonald's to go, and then they went to where?
They went to the park.
Make out point.
Yeah. They're in the car. I on the one hand, I can't really put myself in this situation where, you know, the McDonald's shake just isn't a big motivator for me. But I feel like it would be a gentlemanly thing to do to offer your cup to a young lady who needed a place to spit. And I'm just wondering, I feel like your boyfriend dropped the ball there. Your boyfriend.
So if he didn't eat, well.
You think he had a shake too?
Yeah.
And was just sipping on it?
Yeah. Or he got something at McDonald's. There's something else in that car. There is some other container in that car.
I don't think so.
What kind of weird situation are they in where there's no place to spit but.
Immaculate car.
There's nothing. There's so nothing clean. Else in
don't,
the car.
Yeah. What? This is kind of a weird time to bring up my dad. But right. We were not allowed to eat in his car.
Okay. So there's nothing in this car but a milkshake.
Yeah.
Assuming they're in a
guy
car.
Guy didn't have a litter bag.
Like, there's the nothing. There's nowhere else.
The car doesn't have a litter bag.
I
assumed it was in a bedroom, though.
There's so many places to spit. You can spit into a towel. You can.
He's got a heavy flow.
Listen, does he? Do you think this is the guy that wrote in
maybe
later? Okay. Listen, this is nobody's fault but your own. You spit into your own shake. There's you could have.
I don't think they're looking for any. They're not pointing any fingers.
That could have happened. Although I have to say, if the boyfriend is listening, it's the least you can do to offer your own milkshake after someone has done you a favor.
I guess for future
like this. For future fellas out there, when you've got a Shamrock Shake and you've just been filleted. Offer that cup.
They should look up some like reverse engineered recipes or something
for make their own shamrock. Yeah. I was really confused for a minute because I was thinking of semen and I didn't know.
No.
Get your shamrocks off.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like that. What's next, Murray?
I've had the hiccups for about 2 months now, and I don't know if it's been too long. It's my first time getting the hiccups, so I'm genuinely confused. Is there a time when it's just stupid to still have them? It hurts a lot right now.
So, as we've covered before, and Alyssa, I know you're new to this, hiccups is how I refer to heartache. The theory being that you can't cure it. It just has to play itself out. Just like hiccups, you can't cure hiccups. And I have to say, I'm really pleased that this is starting to get some traction, that other people are using the hiccups metaphor. Mm-hmm. Very pleased with that. So, it sounds like the real question here is there a time when it's stupid to still have them? What's your thought on that? Is there a sensible time limit?
And this was a good metaphor, Scott.
Thank you.
The hiccups, that's smart. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it. You can stand on your head all day. It's not going to do anything. And I
you
speak
could
to someone,
put a paper towel over the glass.
You
can
get
and
a shamrock shake.
It.
But then there's got to be sugar and a knife. And,
I feel like I'm uniquely positioned to talk about this. Because one, I am overly sensitive and get my heart ruined. I also get deadly hiccups.
Do you actually get hiccups?
I get the most intense hiccups, obscene hiccups. And yeah. I have found that just like with certain other ailments, there are trigger foods.
Mm-hmm.
And RC Cola will send me into a cyclone, into a tornado of hiccups.
Okay.
It's almost like I'm having a seizure. It's too much.
When was the last time you had RC Cola?
Too recently. There's no time.
Okay.
No time.
Any other foods that you know?
That's the one that really nails it. Really, I don't do well with carbonation, but RC Cola. Sometimes it'll just be some stupid thing and I'll like swallow water wrong and have hiccups for 6 hours.
Weird.
Yeah. I feel like I don't run into other adults that get hiccups as violently as I do.
I don't know why that is.
I am a man child and I have violent hiccups. Anyway, I digress. This is there an amount of time that is reasonable? I will say that I actually had a friend show me this site when she was on the rocks with somebody, and it was kind of funny. They had an equation for and I'll try to find it and link to it in the show notes. But they had an equation that in their mind would tell you how long it's okay to be upset about somebody.
It's half. Wait, no. What is it?
In theirs, it was something like rate how attracted you were.
Oh, that's
too
much.
1 to 4, rate how happy you were. Divide the length in time. The normal logic is something like half the amount of time.
Yeah.
yeah, I know.
But if you're with someone for 5 years, you don't want to be 2.5 years with that. Like,
I don't know, but
just
you
messed
can.
Up.
I don't know. I've been pretty ruined for about 2 years.
Two
now.
Years, yeah.
But here's what I think about those things. Is there some magical formula that will tell you a number that is exactly accurate and right? Probably not.
Yes, there
yes,
is.
There is.
And it's...
and it is. It follows thusly. No, but I think it might be one of those things that can kind of help you out. Like, if you can just say, you know, it's going to be a couple months. That's something that I feel like might be helpful to someone to hear. Especially if it's, you know, one of the first times being hurt and it's fairly early on. It does take some time.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a little while. Is 2 months totally unreasonable? I don't think so. There's so many factors that play into that. If you're starting to feel like it's been too long, I don't know that that's... I think that feeling like it's been too long is one of the first, or not even necessarily the first, but is a step to getting better.
I agree.
You know, like when you start to tell yourself that it's been too long, I think that's not necessary. It's a weird cause and effect thing, but at once you're realizing it's been a while, but you're also like psyching yourself up to get out of it. And Alyssa, I wanted to ask you, because I remember you doing a reading, and it was at Pilot Books, and read, I kind of remember a part that it was like pepping somebody up. Like, we're going to go get you a new outfit. We're going to go get you like,
the poem was looking in on this dumped, ejected person on the couch, eating the pot brownies, watching the Freaks and Geeks, not getting out of the bed, freaking out because the bed all of a sudden feels so big, you know, like letting the beard grow, doing the weird things, and just sort of being like, do whatever you need to do, like whatever gets you through the night, baby.
Yeah, no, and that was really, and that actually stuck with me. It stuck with me. You talked about the going to the gym. You talked about getting the new outfit for the new you. You talked about these things that sound silly, but they are therapeutic, and I think that when you start to tell yourself, like, it's been too long, I need something. There's all kinds of people do it all the time.
The haircuts.
The haircuts, the little mini reinventions. Like, it's worth a shot. Give it a whirl. But I think you're doing fine. I don't think you need to worry so much, especially if it's your first set of the hiccups.
Oh, yeah.
Mario, what's next? This is baffling.
I'm fearless when it comes to approaching people, except males of the Asian variety. I'm white. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Neither do we.
What is what?
Okay. What? Okay. Just, I think we can all agree that we don't know what this person's talking about. can we all agree on that?
I think this is, I think they're talking about armed combat.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Can we get a couple of scenarios in this? So approaching people. So one would be armed combat.
I think
One would be unarmed combat. I could see particularly an unarmed combat.
Asians are well versed in the art of the empty hand.
Yeah, certainly. Do you know that karate used to mean Chinese fist, and then because they were racist, they changed it to empty fist? Isn't that weird?
Did they change?
Yeah, I think
they changed what karate was previously called.
No, they changed.
The definition.
The word was close enough, but it meant something like Chinese hand, and then they didn't
That sounds stupid. They didn't begin with the Chinese hand.
The Japanese were didn't want Chinese name, so then they changed it, tweaked it a little bit, so that it would be empty fist instead of Chinese.
I didn't know that.
Well,
I'm going to look that up for accuracy.
Totally accurate. okay, so that's combat. Pretty obvious one. What are some other scenarios? I mean, there's something tame like mattress salesman, used car salesman, encyclopedia salesman. Approaching people. I mean, it could be...
Wait. This person is like, I'm cool with approaching everyone.
Anybody.
Fearless.
Males,
absolutely fearless.
Females. Fearless.
Please. Like, I'm okay with approaching, like, this scary figure, male, dark alleyway at night. Like, I have no problem.
But then you get close, and
he's
really
tiny.
But if
he's
Asian,
oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as far as threatening stature, I'm looking at Mari right now.
I'm sitting on the floor with a little pillow for a cushion.
A little cushion. Yes. I don't know what to make of it. I wish I knew what the circumstances were. Maybe that would help clear it up a little bit, but I'm having a hard time imagining any scenario where this would be reasonable.
Yeah, because for all we know, this could be someone who is Asian writing. Right?
No, it says
I'm white.
I'm white.
Oh, white. Oh,
I'm
okay,
white.
Okay.
I don't know what the... I'm fearless when it comes to... And then, do you think it's just like making friends? Just like, hey, how's it going, y'all? How y'all doing?
Maybe.
What are you up to? Howdy.
Or ni hao.
So Asian ladies are fine. Men and women of all other creeds, races, everything. No problem.
Yeah.
But Asian fellas...
For some reason.
I don't know what to say.
This is very... I mean, I think they're directing this towards me, but I don't know if they're directing it, like, right at me.
Because they're afraid to.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. But I don't know. I feel like sometimes I walk around with a cold look on my face.
Like, do you think it's squinting? Do you think it's a girl that's in love with you, Mari?
I think, no.
I ask you that only because you typically think that these are girls that are in love with you.
I'm getting a male vibe from this email.
I did too, but I was just wondering.
But I'm 50% wrong, apparently. Okay, maybe more than that.
We have some gender problems. Please include your gender. Anything else to say on this, Alyssa? I just don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I also want to know things like, how old is this person? Mm-hmm. Are they truly anti-racist? Or do they have some hidden weird racism?
Were they a POW?
Yeah, no, like, what is this person's background?
Because I don't know. It's very difficult. We're going to need some more information.
Well, do you guys have any tips for approaching my people?
Comic book writers. I don't know. I mean, I talked about some tips for approaching you specifically on how to not scare you away.
Something about like treats.
I think there are a lot of treats.
That might be, yeah.
Do you know, I walked out of my apartment building earlier in the week, and there was last week, and there was a trail of candy out my front door and down the street.
I think, did I see that?
Yeah, I took a picture of it.
Did
it was
you
waffle
so after it?
Weird. Of course I did.
What kind of, what were they? Were they like Jolly Ranchers?
No, it was like some kind of jelly candy, like those chewy kind. And I got to the end of the line.
Wait, in the wrappers or not?
Out of the wrapper, on the ground. I got to the end of the line, what? And I found one that was chewed up, end of the line. No sign of anything. And foolishly, I didn't look up, but I bet if I'd looked up, there would have been a person dangling in a net. By this trap moments before.
Huh. That's weird. In my mind, it was a reverse trail. You were at the end of it.
Oh, I was looking.
And then they started it, but got sick of the candy.
Maybe so. I'm done with this guy. We don't know anymore. Let's keep going.
I started on some mood altering medication. Since then, I've been producing a massive amount of semen. I enjoy it despite the mess. Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks,
this is
Phil.
The first time someone's written their name.
It's not the first, is it?
Oh, it's the first time we've read it.
Hey, Mari, can you tell me if massive is spelled in all caps?
It is. It is in all caps.
That seems an important detail.
No, it is a massive amount.
This is like scaring them, quantity. Like, they have never produced this much.
He says he enjoys it. I will say, maybe to the person earlier who we, you know, we had the email from someone saying that maybe you want to check out, maybe you need some antidepressants, this is what will happen to you.
Totally.
Is this a common side effect?
If you follow our advice, you'll end up...
I don't know that, you know, I don't know. My volume's been pretty consistent over the years. I don't know that I've noticed anything. I did once have a weird... I got a very strange product once.
Mm-hmm.
I was ordering some kind of supplements. I used to, you know, like some kind of vitamins or something. And... they came with like a free trial package of something else.
Uh-oh.
And this something else was for this exactly. It was to increase your
not,
volume.
Not your potency.
No, your volume. It was
volume.
And
it seems like it would like dilute it.
I don't know.
And that's so bunk, because it's like, why would there be a desire to have a huge volume?
I don't know. This guy's enjoying it. I don't know. I will say, I don't know. You know, there is some fluctuation in volume depending on any number of things, but I could say that you know
the phase of the moon
long it's been since you've had sex.
That's a big one, but I think I don't know. There's maybe a feeling of accomplishment. Like
quantity.
Yeah, it's one of the think of it in terms of fireworks. Like one firework is beautiful. A few fireworks is beautiful, but think of that grand finale when it's just the sky is awash with fireworks.
Yeah, think of it like that. I mean, I would want those fireworks to be awash on my breasts.
Yeah, sure. Of course you would.
When I take medication, I sweat a lot more.
How do you feel about that?
It's weird at first because I get away with not wearing deodorant. And I'm just soaked through at work. And it's startling. It's like, whoa, my body's producing this.
I think this is fine. I think it's interesting. I think it's cool that you're enjoying it. It's neat when your body does different things sometimes. I would add one caveat. I hope it's, you know, you're only producing the semen when you ejaculate and it's just not constant. I hope that it's not some kind of strange problem where you just have a constant stream, because while I could see that that'd be kind of a novelty at first, I think that would be...
You think he's just got jars and jars full of this stuff and it's...
No, I think he has hundreds of McDonald's Shamrock Shakes that are half,
half
consumed. And now that McDonald's doesn't make that anymore.
What's he gonna
do? Because this guy has no other containers in his house. Because as we've learned, the average American has zero, you know,
no cups.
What if he lives in his car?
There's nothing he can do.
I think the main thing here is that he's on mood altering medication, so he'll enjoy it anyway.
Do you think that's whatever it is? Mare, do you think that's what it is? Do you think anything that happened, he'd be like, "This is great.
This is awesome."
Hey, so I've been grinding my teeth at night. They're down to nubbins. This is great. I've always wanted nubbins.
I enjoy it despite the mess.
I started on some mood altering medication. Since then, I've been producing massive amounts of snot. I enjoy it despite the mess.
Yeah, and I want to tell this guy that, like, I'm on mood altering medication. Prescribed by a doctor.
Wait,
and I know about the side effects. Yeah, and it's a hard juggle.
Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds like, you know, just like we talked about, if you have to have a part of your body cut off, foreskin's fine. Uh-huh. I feel like if you have to have a weird side effect from medication and you can't have like a superpower, this in my mind is basically a superpower.
Yeah.
I guess. If it's shot web or
something. Well, that's the thing. You know, you've got the volume. You've got the... Now you just got to train for distance. And then I think you can kill flies
on the wall if you aim right.
Yeah. You're going to be a force to...
On command.
A force to be reckoned with. Are we ready to move on? I feel like this one fit in with our friend 2 emails ago.
Yes, it did. Sometimes I catch myself thinking racist thoughts and sadly wonder how they got into my head.
Do you guys have rogue racist thoughts? Or are you surprised by them? Like, do you find yourself in anything?
Oh, hell yes. Every day. Like, all the time. All the time.
Because it's just there.
It's programming.
Yeah. Mari, what about you? You've got...
I don't know if I have rogue thoughts.
You have very calculated...
You enjoy
them.
You
they're like... Back. I can't say them out loud is the thing.
No, there's different categories. I mean, there's the kind of internal, intentionally... nasty kind of stereotyping that you can do just for like an internal pleasure.
No,
thing,
there's never anything mean. I
don't even mean mean. Just like
I know.
Judging.
I know.
You know what I mean.
It's never like, oh, look at that black person. Like, I don't want to be their friend or anything like that. Sometimes it's genuinely like I'm afraid of that person not because of their skin color, but because of the way they carry themselves, and that can be, I think, interpreted as racist. But I know that it's. Mm-hmm. It's just a cultural thing, or like a lifestyle thing.
You know, growing up in Texas, there's lots of things that I had to kind of reevaluate that were just so ingrained. And my family would shock me. Such good-hearted, nice people. Just like they would say things sometimes it's funny too, because it would always be the thing they would say things that were meant to be nice, but were just so you know.
And, yeah, candid.
Yeah, just and it, I don't know. My family, they've progressed, and I feel like a big. They got a lot of help from that when my brother married a black woman and very much changed their perspective.
I hope so.
Boot camp, turn around.
No, it was interesting. But I will say for myself that I guess what this reminds me of is as far as accidental racism. I know that when I moved to Chicago, I lived in Old Town right on the edge of Cabrini Greens. And it was in a very dangerous neighborhood and there were very dangerous people there. And because of where it was and all the circumstances, most of these dangerous people were black.
Mm-hmm.
And it did... I was definitely nervous there sometimes, and probably not totally without warrant, because that was a very dangerous part of town. But it did, I think it at least I started to recognize in myself, at least maybe some level of subconscious profiling, anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it crops up. I think if you catching it is the trick. I think if you catch yourself having thoughts like that, it's not.
Then you're fine.
You're doing okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can like just identify it.
Yeah, it's
gonna, what a tea party or thought.
Yeah, it's going to be there. It's probably going to be there. As long as you catch it and say, well, thoughts bubble out of nowhere. Who knows where that stuff comes from? Because sometimes it'll just creep in. So we've got one more secret.
Okay. I kissed this girl last year and she laughed. I'm 88% sure I am not a bad kisser. I periodically see said girl every couple of months in a local cafe. I always order a cup of tea, 2 sugars, and so does she. After our meetings, we always seem to lose touch again. I really like this girl. She doesn't have a boyfriend. I generally don't tell anyone when we meet up, as I assume they will declare it a date. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I am to her.
Okay, so there's a couple things I want to talk about on this. What's just your immediate gut reaction? Just how do you feel about this? What do you think he's reading into it too much, the laughing? What do you think about?
Sounds like he's been friend zoned.
He may be. As far as the laughter, don't let that gauge whether or not you think you're a good or bad kisser. People laugh under crazy circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That laughing is just something that can happen when you're stimulated in any number of ways, good or bad. People sometimes laugh at funerals just because they have crazy emotions that they can't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But also, maybe she just you know, that's the kind of person she is, and that's how romantic interactions are for her. Just kind of fun and silly. I've definitely known girls like that that's just the way they.
It sounds like she's comfortable, which is important.
maybe it's just fun.
I'm also getting vibes from this that so when they're not having tea with two sugars together, mm-hmm. There's no contact.
There's nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
I think it's like one of them is just not quite interested enough to pursue a real relationship.
Which one is that? The
lady? But maybe she's just airy. She's an airy gal. She's maybe. Maybe she's
just too afraid to reject him or something.
Or just doesn't even think about it. You know, those girls, I've had friends like that just don't register the interest quite in that way.
I've been in the situation, and I've told her. I told her that did I tell her? I had my hand on her.
Tell me who is it, knee. Who is it, Murray?
And you told her?
Can you just
gosh, I don't even know what it was. I made it very clear that I liked her. I think I might have even told her later in an email of all things. And then, you know, she just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. She's very,
is it a person that's a color?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I knew who that is.
She's just airy.
Right. That's exactly the kind of thing I'm thinking of. And she's just somebody that's not how they work.
Yeah. She's super cute but she doesn't really think she is all the time.
Yeah. She's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I just like.
Might not be human.
I like her, she just doesn't.
Tough break, everybody. Tough break, fellas out there. You're just good luck with her.
But maybe you just need to be more assertive.
Maybe, and if you do feel bad about the way she laughed, always remember whenever I'm down the dumps, I think of the time that Mari asked a girl to kiss him on New Year's, and she said no and ran away.
She didn't run away. She just turned around. I saw her. It was fine. I was actually seeing someone at the time, but it's an open relationship, so it's cool.
No, I just think that's another silly kind of thing. You know,
just go for it.
So here's that was the first part. I think you're fine. Don't read too much into it. But maybe she's not interested. Look, there's plenty of fish in the sea. The other part is the assuming it's a date kind of thing, and that's what I wanted to talk about that because somebody in this room may or may not have been. on some sort of outing today, has some kind of encounter, and maybe that person did not think it was a date while their companion did. Is there anyone in this room? I'm trying to show of hands if there was anyone.
Well, I just laid around all day, so it couldn't have been me.
It wasn't me. I was
at work. Yes, okay. Me. I'm scratching my head, turning into a hand raise.
Okay, so what...
And that's also what could be happening with them, is that maybe, like, he just assumes it's a date. She doesn't assume it's a date, mm-hmm. And then this is what happens.
Okay,
yeah, I want to hear about that. Okay, how does that happen?
So this dude, he's my friend, and I like talking to him, and mm-hmm. He's like older.
Okay,
and this is why I feel a little racist. He's British, so I like get to
is that a race?
Okay, so I get to like know perspectives from like the British perspective on American problems.
Sure,
and it's fun, and we chat, and we're like we're fun friends. But he's like, do you want to get something to eat? And I thought he meant just like after work, basket of fries. Sure.
Yeah, I like eating.
Yeah, I'll stop by basket of fries.
I eat every day.
Where'd you get fries?
No, but that's the thing. And he's like, okay, well, this Thai restaurant. I'm like, okay, I love Thai food.
They don't have fries at Thai restaurants?
It's a vegetarian Thai restaurant.
This sounds fishy.
Because I need to eat dinner before I go to this podcast recording.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Fourth wall. and so then I show up at the Thai restaurant and there's like this mood music.
Uh-oh.
And I realize I'm like, oh shit, I walked into a date. I walked into the date zone.
It's a trap.
No, and I'm like, fuck, because I just don't see him that way. I just don't, it's no.
Mm-hmm.
And then it put me in the position of like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to either like subtly give clues the whole night. Really into date land,
mm-hmm.
or just tell him bluntly.
What did you choose? Did you kiss him and then laugh?
A horrible mix. It was a wintry mix of like being ice cold and just trying to make like, dude, like, yeah, dude, like equal. But then I was thinking about this guy I'm dating right now who does call me dude and man sometimes when we hang out.
Do you know?
And it drives me crazy.
I try to call ladies dude to
why
to maybe put them at ease. I don't know, like something, like just trying to be less, like I'm interested in them.
So
not, well, I'm not interested in them, and I'm trying to.
No, oh, because you're playing it cool.
I'm like,
Scott, okay, what do you do?
I don't talk to girls. No, actually, one thing you maybe could have done, and I don't know, I mean, maybe this would have worked, maybe it wouldn't, but I feel like if I was in the other guy's position,
yeah,
and you need something that you can say that without being too blunt about it, but also being clear, you can talk about the person you are seeing. And it seems rough.
Oh, that's hard.
No,
that's
but really hard. It's a way that you don't have to go on at length. You can just put it there. You just say it, and then it's there, and then it's done. It's you don't have to have the hemming and hawing, and then you don't have to say that, oh, I'm not interested in you. I know it's not, it's a little blunt, but I feel like it's better than saying, you're not attractive to me. And then it's also better than leaving it in kind of this ambiguous
place. Yeah, because that's airy, and that's irresponsible.
Is that where you left it? Is that what happened?
No, here's the other kind of like symbol I tried to give. Is he tried to pay for the entire meal.
You asked to split it.
And I'm like, no, let me add something. He's like, you can pay for the tip. I'm like, okay, because I'm really poor right now. And like my grandma sent me $10 cash and it's like getting me through the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so I'm like, okay. Uh-huh. But that was going to be my big move, like my big
yeah.
It ends here, bro.
Yeah, but you know, that's a little ambiguous. The asking to split.
Yeah.
Because I've had that definitely from, it's just this day and age.
That's happened to me too.
I split with the guy that I'm dating and I like dating.
No, and in a very serious relationship, often I take turns with the person. And then we get to take turns buying dinner for each other.
Scott and I did
nice.
That.
You know, that's who I was talking about. No, I like that better than splitting, because then you get I got this one, but then you take turns doing it.
It's just nice. Easier sometimes too.
Yeah.
But I went on a date once and I was like, I'll pay for it. And then she was like, no, we'll do it Dutch. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Cause it's a modern thing. And then immediately I go home and I blog about it or something. I make a comic about it. And I say, I think I went on a date. And then she comments
on it. She said, was that a date? Yeah. I remember that. Cause it was when you're doing daily comics. Yep. And I remember who it was.
That one.
I won't say it.
That's fine. And
I felt for you too.
I think it was a date. I don't know.
Oh, shit. And then you also have the privilege of like, if it went poorly, being like, no, that wasn't a date.
That wasn't a date.
But it was.
We were just hanging out.
Ah, so many weird signals. Oh, also, maybe in England, a basket of fries means Thai food.
Oh, shit.
Probably. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I bet that's what it is. So that was all of our secrets. Thank you, Alyssa, so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
No, yeah. it was amazing.
Thank you. That was fun.
Did you have any show notes, Maria? I have a couple of
things. I wrote some things down, but let's go through it.
Okay. I guess the big thing, we need a new policy on this. We got so many emails this week, and thank you so much. And don't worry if you didn't hear it. There were so many good ones. We flagged them. They're going to go in the vault. They may come out again someday, like Frosty. The thing that I think...
Like what?
Frosty. He'll come back again someday.
Oh.
The thing we do want to address is... We really like, thank you very much to everybody who sends us kind of fan mail saying you like the show, people saying still that they like my voice and I don't sound terrible, all of these things.
Mm-hmm. You should tell Scott he's a good kisser too.
Tell me, anybody?
Nope.
I wonder if anyone who's kissed me is listening to this.
Probably.
Anyway, if you could, mm-hmm. we have a humble request. We appreciate that feedback a lot. We can't get to all of it. If you could go over to iTunes and... While you're there, I don't know, maybe give us a rating.
Yeah.
And then just take that review you were going to send to us anyway and put it into iTunes where everybody can see it, enjoy it, rate it. Then it's out there in the open. It's much more helpful to us that way. And we don't want to sound ungrateful. We really do appreciate it. But if you could just couple that with an iTunes review rating, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so handy.
And I do want to say, I checked the iTunes reviews right before we started the show.
Okay.
And we still have an average rating of 5 stars.
Whoa.
And out of 40 reviews?
That's better than 88%.
Do we have one non-5-star review?
We have one 1-star review.
Whoa.
And there's no words. It's just this black spot.
No words. So no words for how bad this is.
So for 15 weeks.
Yeah.
15 weeks, 39 ratings. All 5 stars.
Is this one very new? I haven't checked in a while.
Yeah, I looked yesterday, I think. So we got one. Thank you. That's kind of amazing. I want to know why you hate us. Please write about it. I wonder who hates. Do you think it's someone
I would like some constructive criticism. I think it's just someone who's out to get us.
I hope it. No, I don't even want constructive criticism. I'm totally fine if it's somebody who hates us.
You want some hate mail?
Yeah. We haven't gotten any.
So is that your other request, Scott?
If you hate our guts, and you've made, I don't know why you would have listened.
15, yeah.
If you've made it, we've been recording for, we've been recording for over 2 hours.
Oh, gosh.
So if you've made it this far, wow, quite impressed.
Yeah. You've earned it.
You've earned it. Thank you for hating us. Man, one star.
Uh-huh.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Do you think it's from one of the other people? Okay. It's probably from somebody else who's just mad at us for using the name Kiss and Tell. We've already talked about Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez both have Kiss and Tell songs. Now Kesha has a new Kiss and Tell.
Kesha
seems like the type that would leave a one star review.
You
know how she is. She's one of those girls.
Yeah, she's one of those, yeah. There's also a Gilmore Girls episode that I watched recently titled Kiss and Tell.
See, I think it's just haters out there. Haters.
Those Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, those Gilmore Girls. Mari, what do you got?
And then I have a note for Alyssa, but she might talk about it anyway.
Well, she's right here. Oh, yeah. I feel like she could plug some things if she wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the big thing coming up this summer is Slutwalk 2011, Slutwalk Seattle, and it's in conjunction of Slutwalks all over the world. Women are going to be walking around wearing whatever they want, not getting sexually harassed or assaulted. But it's basically to draw awareness to rape law and how it needs to be updated and how it's very much victim-centered when it should be perpetrator-centered. Mm-hmm. Like, people ask, if you got raped, well, what were you wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Not, well, why did you rape that woman, you know? Mm-hmm. And expanded to include males. Anyway, fun stuff, sexual assault. but yeah, that's June 19th in Seattle. And you can learn more about it on where you learn about everything, which is Facebook.
And what you also have a web project that you do every single day.
Can you drop that
for us? Because I think it's wonderful.
I do a haiku every day, and that's at thehaikudiary.wordpress.com. And I'm working on buying the regular page.
Awesome.
Thank you for letting me plug.
Yeah.
Of course. Mari, anything? You got anything?
That's it. That's all I got.
So that's it for episode 15. Tune in next week for our sweet 16, on which we hope to have a surprise guest, although there's been no word whatsoever.
I didn't ask him yet.
You can guess who it is. In the meantime, send us those secrets. Get us some reviews. Tweet about us. Do all that nonsense. Follow us on Tumblr, on Facebook. Mari, I think we have enough Facebook followers that we can get an actual Facebook name, right? Can't we get facebook.com/... When you have a certain number of followers, you can name your page.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought you could just do that anyway.
I think it's just 25.
Oh, what's the point? Why? Who cares? Because
that way I can say, go to facebook.com/kissandtellcast.
You don't like saying facebook.com/pages/1153, whatever it is.
No, I don't like that. If you want to, Schmeet has that lines you like, discussions. Yeah,
there's a couple posts in there.
Is there really?
It's a nice read. It's kind of interesting.
You dudes, go over there. I see what my coworkers do all day, and they all sit there on Facebook all day. If you're one of those people, you can take a moment and go over to our page and chat it up in those discussions. We really like that. I like that kind of thing. I like the Schmeet made that one graphic that was from one episode, a lot of random ridiculous things I said. Sometimes I don't quite register some of those things.
Yeah, and I also don't remember anything ever.
Mari, you have a poor memory.
And then I stopped listening to the podcast.
Yeah, I wish you would listen to it.
I haven't listened to any podcast, though, in my defense.
That is, okay.
That's fine. In a very long time.
Okay, so you know the drill, but most importantly, send us those secrets at kissandtellcast.com/tell. That is it for episode 15.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Kiss and Tell Cast.